Welcome back to Mercy Talk Podcast. I'm your host, Melanie Carter, and I'm the Director of Outreach here at Mercy Multiplied. And for those of you who may be new to Mercy Talk and don't already know, our mission here at Mercy is to restore hope and transform lives. And a big part of that is accomplished by offering hurting young women a place to come and deal with the issues that they're facing in their life. And one of the most exciting parts of what we do is that our God is a God of hope and freedom and restoration. And so we have seen thousands of girls come through our program here at Mercy and find healing and freedom, but we know that what God has done for them, He wants to do for everyone. And so part of the new outreach initiatives that we have happening here at Mercy is that we want to come alongside people who are helping those who are hurting and struggling out in the world and just do all that we can to help equip them and empower them to minister more effectively. And so one of the things that we're going to talk about today is actually kind of what I would say is just the bread and butter of what we do here at Mercy and the heart behind all that we do. And that is in getting to the root of people's issues and not just fixing their behavior. And that is key to all that we do here at Mercy. And so we're really excited to unpack this because we are very, very passionate about it. And joining me on the show today is our lovely Jen Otero, who is currently our transitional care manager here at Mercy and works with our graduates. But before taking on that position, she worked as a counselor in our home and the director of counseling. And so she is truly a wealth of knowledge and experience. And so nobody better to come and talk on the show today about this than Jen. So Jen, thank you for being here.
I'm glad to be back, Mel. Thanks.
If you could just kind of start us off by just as a general principle, what does it mean to get to the root behind people's issues? And what does that look like for us?
We live in a culture that tends to kind of focus on the behaviors. And there are a lot of treatment facilities and counselors and different helpers out in our communities and our culture that do a good job, but they really focus on behavior. They focus on modifying behavior instead of really getting to the root. And so one of the things that I love about Mercy and that I believe we see such transformation from is that we're not just dealing with the behaviors. We're really getting to the root of things. And what that really just means is getting to the true reason why someone is struggling what they struggle with. So if you've got a girl struggling with an eating disorder, a lot of places will deal with gaining weight and making sure that they're eating enough calories and that the food and all of that is important. But if you never get to the heart issue behind why a girl doesn't want to eat her food, you're never going to get to a place of healing or wholeness. And so being people that really understand what it means to get to the root of behavior and get to the root of why someone is broken and struggling is what allows the Lord to come in and create transformation instead of just treatment. And so that is really, I would say, an encapsulated understanding of what it means to really get to the root of things, mm-hmm. And how important that is as people that help people, but also just as sons and daughters that we understand even in our own lives that we're able to identify the things that are really going on and not just staying on the surface of things, because that's just not true freedom. And it's really not what Jesus came to deal with in the first place. So It allows us to be positioned for wholeness and freedom and the fullness that Christ died for us to have.
Yeah. Well, I think it truly, whenever you understand this idea, it truly changes the way that you see just what the problem is, because A lot of us would say, well, I struggle with anger, or I struggle with an eating disorder, or I struggle with self-harm or whatever it might be. And that's actually not, at the end of the day, the problem. Mm-hmm. And so just reframing what is the problem truly changes the entire process, because it changes what you're going after. Mm-hmm. And so that has been very, very key for us as a ministry. And, you know, I would even say on a very personal level, this has been something that even prior to coming to Mercy, the Lord was really kind of starting to show me as I worked with people that the problem is not the behavior. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, worked with teenage girls for many years before I worked here. And you know, I would see maybe the way that they dressed or the kinds of people they were choosing to be around, or just decisions they made on the weekends, or the kind of guys that they chose to date. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in my early years, I thought, well, okay, how do we fix this behavior? Like, how do we stop them from doing that and stop them from going there and keep them from wearing those types of clothes and whatever it might be? Like, how do we fix this? And the more I worked with them, I started realizing, wait, at the root of all of this stuff seems to be the same thing over and over and over. Mm-hmm. And what I was starting to see was, man, these girls have a complete lack of self-worth, mm-hmm. and they don't know where their identity comes from. And because of that, it results in lots of different choices. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, okay, well, the girl who is dressing provocatively, and then the girl who is going partying on the weekends, and then the girl who is dating somebody who's really bad for her, those are three different behaviors, but the root behind all of them was a lack of self-worth and identity. And mm-hmm. so I think the Lord started showing me that, and what it did for me personally was truly changed the way I was seeing the whole world. Because then, you know, I go out, and if I see someone who's behaving in a way that I disagree with, or that maybe is destructive to their life, whereas before, when I didn't understand this principle, I just thought, what in the world is wrong with them? Right. Why would they do that? You know, I specifically think, you know, even just of like, if I'm at the grocery store and someone's like a total jerk to me, before I would say, what a jerk. Like, why are they so awful? You know, and mm-hmm. and now whenever I started to understand this principle, that there is a reason behind people's behavior, it gave me a true level of compassion and understanding for people. So that now when someone treats me like a jerk in the grocery store, instead of being like, what is wrong with them? My first thought is like, man, what happened to them today? Mm-hmm. What is going on in their life that resulted in them acting this way? And I think that something really important that I know you've spoken some, even in the workshops that we're doing, about the difference between that being an excuse and being an explanation. So if you'll mm-hmm. unpack that a little bit,
sure,
that'd be great.
Because I think, as you said, Mel, there's that place of being people that understand the why behind the what, is another kind of verbiage we use around here, is understanding that if you're dealing with the what, there's always a why, but we tend to kind of just focus on the what. Because honestly, I think that can be rooted in a place of control too, mm-hmm. that we want to just control it and we want to fix it. And we just kind of go yeah. after, you know, the branches on the tree instead of really getting to the root. But what I often tell people I'm counseling or different people I'm helping is that, you know, you walk through really hard things, and that creates a very good explanation for why you're struggling. You know, if I have no self-worth, or if I've been rejected my whole life, or if I walk through a lifetime of abuse, that's a very good explanation for why I'm struggling with self-harm and an eating disorder and unhealthy relationships and all these things. Yes, it explains it. Mm-hmm. But sooner or later, we have to come to a point where it does not excuse it. Mm-hmm. That we have a choice as sons and daughters of God to say, you know what, this explains a lot of why I'm struggling, and there is the root, but I don't have to allow it to become an excuse to continue to remain in these behaviors. And that's where the intentionality of freedom and healing and walking out a process comes in. And so it's right. so important that we recognize. And that's where judgment doesn't have room there, mm-hmm. when you realize, okay, explanation, but not excuse. But like you said, when you're at the grocery store, or you hit different situations or relationships or stuff comes up, it's really easy to get judgmental and to think, I know better. I don't know better. Even when I know that person's story, I still don't fully understand, mm-hmm. is another thing we often talk about. That as a helper, you never say you fully understand something. Because even if you walk through point by point the same situation someone has, we all experiencing things differently. Yeah. So when you have an understanding of getting to the root of things, you're right. It helps you to love and to have a different level of compassion. I would say not even just for others, but for yourself too.
Yeah.
But it's easy to kind of get stuck in that excuse place if we're not careful as well.
So. Sure. Absolutely. Well, you kind of hit on this for a minute there when you were sharing about the analogy that we use mm-hmm. here at Mercy, is the analogy of a tree.
Right.
And how this kind of explains this concept of getting to the roots. And so can you kind of unpack that analogy for
us? Sure. I often laugh, you know, if I'll tell people, if I have a tree in my backyard, let's just give that example, then I'll talk about what the parts of the tree mean. But if I have a tree in my backyard that needs to go because it's dead or not doing well, it would not make sense for me to go out and start hacking at the branches or the leaves. I mean, I'm just going to have a jacked up looking tree. It's not going to really deal with the issue. So you need to call someone in that completely uproots it from your backyard. And it's the very same thing that we're talking about when we're talking about emotionally, is that when we have a tree, if you're talking about the branches on a tree, we would create that to be an analogy of the behaviors. That's the stuff you see. That's the stuff that you see. Like you said, with the girls that you used to counsel and that you were youth pastor to, when they were, you know, struggling with relationships or dressing immodestly or whatever, that's just the behaviors. But that's often where we can get stuck. But when you really understand the analogy of the why behind the what, you also then start to travel down that trunk and realizing that's the unmanaged emotions. Those are the areas that really lead into the branches. If I am healthy in my emotions, I'm not going to have unhealthy behaviors as much in my life. Those really connect. And the roots is really the main issue. The shame, the grief, the fear, the loneliness, the abandonment, the rejection. That's all the stuff that's in the roots. That's what we need to get really good at recognizing. Mm-hmm. If you have an uncle who's just not nice to be around, you know, he's kind of that guy who's just not nice, it's real easy to go, well, he's just unkind and he's sarcastic and he's just nasty to be around. But if you really begin going, okay, what's at the root? I bet there's some bitterness. I bet there's some anger. I bet there's some things he's not dealt with in his life and his heart that are now just coming out in his behaviors. But that's where we can tend to get stuck. Right. And then often we teach too that the soil, which we can't always change, is our circumstances. And so those are the areas in an individual's life you may not have control over. You can't necessarily, you know, deal with, you know, like for instance, if we have a girl that comes into the program who's a minor, sometimes she has to go back to her same home, you know, the same circumstances, but she is going back as a different person with different tools and different understanding and revelation. And so understanding those pieces of that analogy help us to be people that just understand people better and also understand ourselves better.
Yeah. Jen, can you share maybe a little bit about what this has looked like for you as a counselor and just understanding this idea that whenever, I mean, man, some of these girls that have even come into the Mercy program, I mean, they're not just struggling with one issue. Mm-hmm. They could have a list of 10.
Yeah.
And if you are focusing on trying to fix all those issues, you're going to be on quite a wild ride.
Yes.
And if you happen to succeed in helping them modify all 10 of those behaviors,
right,
but that core and that heart change has not happened and there's not been healing, they will find something else once they leave here to jump into to try to deal with the hurt or the pain or whatever it is that they might be dealing with. So can you give some examples or maybe just a story that might come to mind of someone where you really saw this principle at work, where on the outside looking in, you just say, holy cow, like what a mess. And they're struggling with however many different problems.
Right.
But man, when we got to the root, here's what happened. And how you even seen when that root is dealt with, things truly just start to fall off.
Right.
Because I know you talk about that a lot. So if you have any
story
to share
with
that.
I have lots and lots, but the one that comes to mind is a young lady that we often talk about that came into the program. I think she's on 14 different medications. She had a ton of different just labels that were placed on her diagnoses. She'd been in all sorts of different treatment programs. And when she came into our program, she didn't know Jesus at the time either. And so watching her progress, coming to know the Lord, understanding love, growing in her relationship with the Lord, and then beginning to deal with the root, which was rejection, which was abuse by her father, which was a lot of that root stuff. It was amazing to watch things just started falling off. Anxiety just didn't have a place to root in anymore. Suddenly she wasn't fearful anymore. Night. Then there was this place of just really watching her grow into a woman and realizing, like, I'm not afraid to be a young woman who's beautiful because I'm not afraid of being hurt anymore. Like, because she had grown in her relationship with the Lord and really trusted him and trusted people. And, you know, it's just one of those amazing things where you go, wow, if we had just gone after the eating disorder or had gone after the self-harm or, you know, had gone after the night terrors, we would have been chasing things all day long for 6 to 9 months. But instead we went to the root, and we went to the root by allowing the Lord to show us the root, is that even as a really good counselor, I can begin to put my humanity on that and assume that I know where we need to go. But one of the things we talk about often is hearing the voice of God and allowing him to put his finger on the real root of things. Because even though I'm really good at what I do, I still miss it sometimes. There's things where I go, oh, I bet that's the root. And the Lord's like, actually, it's even deeper than you thought it was. And he has a way of coming in and getting straight to the heart of the matter in such a way that we don't in our humanity. It's not a natural part for us to know. Plus, this person sitting in front of me, I've now known a couple months. The Lord has known since the foundation of the world. So he knows every inch of her story to be able to go, that's really the core of what this is about. So as he would get to the root and these girls go there, you begin to see literally stuff that they've been fighting their whole lives is just no longer an issue. Now, there are some things I've always found. Some things kind of fall off, and then there's other things that need more process. But either way, there's this simplification that comes into healing that only comes through the Lord, but also really getting to the root of things.
You know, I think it's really important that we always go back to the fact that everything that we do at Mercy and everything that we're wanting to share with other people is all truly founded in scripture.
That's right.
We aren't coming up with, you know, all of these different theories or different ideas about how counseling should work. Like, this always goes back to the word. And for any of you listeners who maybe heard earlier this year that we went through the keys to freedom that we use in our home. And, you know, I don't know if some people maybe listened to those and thought, well, I know all of those. Like, those are out of the Bible.
Right.
That's right.
Yes,
that's exactly what we operate on here. And so everything that we do is founded in the truth of scripture. And so even this concept is not something that we came up with.
No.
You can literally see it all throughout the Bible, but specifically you can see it in the way that Jesus interacted with people and the way that he spoke to people. And that it was so very clear. If you haven't, I just encourage you to read through the Gospels, through Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, all of them, one of them, but just pay attention to the way that Jesus spoke to people, because you can see it over and over again that he was really not too concerned about changing everybody's behavior and fixing it and making sure that they're doing everything right. He was so concerned about the heart and the soul of other people. And so even I think about, man, some of his most powerful words were against the Pharisees, who from the outside looking in looked really pretty picture perfect clean, and they followed all the rules, and as far as behavior goes, they had it down to a T, but their hearts were broken and dirty and ugly. And he was pretty bold in saying that to them, you know? And so it's clear even in Jesus's heart that it's not about getting all the external behavior right. He is concerned about what is happening at your heart level and at your core. And so it's not just a principle of healing, but it's Jesus's heart for people in general. And so I think it's so important that we remember that this isn't just some cool mercy tactic. This is truly the heart of the Lord for people. And so,
and Mel, I think too, another scripture that comes to mind we often talk about is Jesus with the rich young ruler. He's another one that I just love that story, because, you know, he comes to him and asks, you know, how do I get to the kingdom of heaven? I really want to follow you. I want to be part of your crew. And this is, of course, the Jen paraphrase. But Jesus was really like, hey, sell everything. Come on. He knew right where the core of the root of the issue was with that young man, and he couldn't do it.
Yeah.
But I love that story even more too, that he didn't chase after him. He didn't go, hey man, come on, let me try to talk you into it. He gave him the choice. He did it in love, and he let him choose. It's that place of free will as well. And that, you know, we often talk about the girls that come into the program, or just in general, there's a reality of there's a lot of hard work that goes into healing. You know, it's harder to get to the root than it is to deal with the behavior sometimes, because it's the true healing that needs to happen. But I've often seen that there's such a place of simplification that comes to that, you know, you go into the root and you think it's going to be this really hard place, and it's not easy, but there's something that God is able to do where suddenly there's a simplicity to the healing that he does, that when we are focused on the behaviors, we really complicate things and we make things a lot harder than they are. When it feels like, as you said, when you watch the way that Jesus interacted with people, he gave them a choice. He went straight to the root, but there was also just a simplicity to what he did. He didn't get into some big long conversation about stuff. He just was like, hey, this is really what this is about. Yeah. Now you choose. And I think if we can continue to carry that really well as people that help people, it's good for us, but it also positions people to take full ownership of their life and their healing and their wholeness.
Yeah.
It's just so cool to watch.
Well, so Jen, we've talked a lot about this concept, and something that we are very passionate about is getting very practical with people and giving them real practical tools that they can use. And so this goes for people who are helping other people and trying to help others get to the root of maybe some of their issues. But man, this also goes even for your own life and your own even self-assessment and kind of where am I? And if I'm struggling with something, I can always go back to something that's happening underneath the surface when I'm struggling with some sort of behavior.
Right.
If there's something that I'm just like, why do I keep doing that? Or why do I keep thinking that? Or why do I keep saying things like that? If I will take a second to go back and even try to ask the Lord, what's at the root of this? He always shows me something. And so this doesn't just go for helping others, but also in our own growth, in our own walk. And so, you know, are there some things that you would say, you know, maybe we could even share like some of the questions that we've shared in our workshops before, of just like, how do you help someone get to the actual root? Or how do you even get to the root of your own things? Like, what are some just practical questions that you can go at to go there?
I think first and foremost, Mel, there's just that place of really being gut level honest with yourself, because it's really, really difficult to get to the root if you're not willing to say, you know what, what's really going on here? Even more so is it hard to ask the Lord, because when we're kind of in that place of denial and wanting to sort of be stuck, it's really, really difficult. So as simple as that may sound, I think that's the starting point. Am I willing to really be honest with myself or the people in my life? Am I really willing to get to the root? Because that's a whole different level, especially if you've kind of lived a life of, dealing with the behaviors and trying to overcome and kind of cycling and getting frustrated. It's a whole new territory when you really begin to go, wow, this is really what this is about. Mm-hmm. So I would say that that's usually the starting point of being willing to say, I'm willing to go there. I'm mm-hmm. willing to know what this is really about. But then asking the good questions, just like you said, first and foremost, Lord, what is really at the root? What is really going on here? You know, I think of the example that I've heard of a graduate before. She was just talking about how she couldn't stay in church. You know, it was just this place of like, ah, but she kind of came to the place of finally going, you know what is this really about? You know, mm-hmm. is this about the way that, you know, I've been rejected or the church has let me down, or, you know, how often we can kind of put our stuff onto the other person or the situation instead of really realizing, okay, what's really going on in my heart here?
Yeah.
How I wasn't protected or cared for or whatever it may be. That's the harder stuff to look at. It's easier to put the blame on other people and kind of stay there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think asking the good questions and really getting in and saying, okay, what's really going on? So I would say a couple of those questions, even as a helper to someone, is to really start with saying, how is your relationship with the Lord is really a good mm-hmm. starting point. Asking, you know, how's your time in the Word been? Have you been in prayer? Like, all of that's foundational to getting to the root. Because like I said, there's a reality where we can kind of go, okay, I think this is probably what this is really about. But if you're not allowing truth and the voice of the Lord and people in your life to really speak back to you about things, you're going to have blind spots. That's just the reality.
Right.
So if you're able to really get in and recognize, okay, how's relationship with the Lord and prayer life and all that good stuff?
Yeah.
And one of the questions you and I have even talked about with my friends, we constantly ask each other, what's something God's been showing you lately?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's something he's been revealing to you? And I will tell you how often we go, oh my gosh, that's such a root. And it doesn't mean we're in this deep healing process, but this place of like, oh my gosh, he's continuing to refine and do a work in me that he's so faithful to continue to show those roots and mm-hmm. those revelations that we need.
Yeah. Yeah. And one of the questions that I also know we've shared with people before is just kind of what and who are you surrounding yourself with and immersing yourself mm-hmm. in right now? And a story that I've shared before is just, you know, even when it comes to culture as adults,
mm-hmm.
we are not exactly exempt from paying attention to, like, what are we exposing ourselves to in media? And we always talk about kids, you know, watching out what they're exposing themselves to, or teenagers. But as adults,
yeah.
we are also affected by the things that we surround ourselves with. And so, you know, I've thought about the story that I've told a lot is just kind of how there was a season of time where I could not stop being consumed with my appearance. Like I just, for some reason, just was very self-conscious and very worried about it and spending a lot of time and money and energy just trying to fix things. And I just thought, okay, something is going on here. Why am I so concerned about this all of a sudden? And there were definitely lots of different issues. But one of the questions that I had to ask myself is, what am I surrounding myself with? What am I immersing myself in right now? And one of the things that the Lord brought to my mind was how much time I spent just like reading magazines. And none of them were like, you know, what people would say, like, well, that's a totally inappropriate magazine. Of course you shouldn't be reading that. I mean, they were just like, you know, good natured health magazines and things like that. But when I was struggling with self-image, I was realizing that every single time I would read through a seemingly harmless magazine, I would close that magazine and I would feel horrible about myself.
Mm-hmm.
I would be thinking about all the different things that I needed to change, all the different products I needed to check out, all the different exercise techniques, like all the different things that I could do to make myself better. And where from the outside looking in, that doesn't seem like that bad of a thing to read a magazine. It was really doing a lot of damage to me. And I was just immersing myself in things that was just perpetuating this fear of not measuring up in my appearance. And so that was an area of my life that I needed to just kind of cut out for a little while. And I just cut it out entirely. It's actually been great. But, you know, sometimes you have to actually look at the different things that you are surrounding yourself with, whether it be the music or just even different TV shows or different sources of media, and especially the people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, who are the people that are closest in your life and that you're surrounding yourself with? Because those are the things that are feeding your heart and your mind in some way, either positively or negatively. And so helping someone take an assessment of those things, and are these things good for my heart? And are the issues that I'm struggling with even just being fed by those things? And
right.
so that's been a really big key thing, I know, for my life, but also people that I've helped.
And I think you make a good point, without maybe even knowing that you made this good point, is that it's not always related to some big trauma or issue in our mm-hmm. lives. Like, yes, there's that reality. Sometimes it's just sin. Sometimes mm-hmm. it's just stuff that, like you said, not reading a magazine is not a bad thing, but recognizing, okay, for the way that I'm wired and who I am and what I've overcome and what I'm moving forward to, is that an area of my life that I need to rein in and be mindful of, mm-hmm. you know? And mm-hmm. sometimes I have found that getting to the root, there's this place where it's almost this eureka moment where you're like, oh my gosh, that's it? Like, wow, that will change that much in my life. Mm-hmm. But recognizing there's certain areas that hold a lot of power and weight that we may not even understand until right. we start to really be good question askers right. and getting to the root of things.
Well, I think that's the most important thing when we're talking about these different questions to ask is really just to remember that in asking questions like this, and there's other ones that we've, you know, shared with people, like, are you staying connected to other Christians? Are you currently serving other people? Are there any lies that you feel like the enemy has been throwing at you lately? You know, these are questions to ask not only yourself, but also other people, to really help get to that root and to remember that the questions to ask are the ones that relate to the condition of their hearts.
Mm-hmm, that's good.
Not to their behavior fixing. And yes, there's a place for asking those questions. You know, if somebody is struggling with self-harm, there's a place for asking questions relating to that behavior.
Right.
But at the end of the day, if you're helping someone and they feel like all they ever ask me about is that behavior that I'm struggling with, they don't ever ask anything else, then there's no way that they're going to go to that place of like, well, there's a root issue that the Lord wants to work on in me, you know? So I feel like just in asking these types of questions, we're communicating to other people the condition of your heart is the most important thing mm-hmm. here. And that's the thing that I'm after. That's the thing that the Lord is after. And so I just think it keeps that at the focus. And so it's just a practical way to help you stay focused on that and working with other people and for them to realize way more important than me fixing this behavior is the condition of my heart. And so I think these questions really help with that. So Jen, as always, it's so great to have you on the show today and just to share your heart behind really what is the heartbeat of everything that we do here at Mercy. And I know for you personally and also in your counseling, just a really vital piece. And so thank you for being here to share.
Thanks, Mel.
Awesome. Please make sure that you join us for Mercy Talk next week, because we are going to be sharing about one of the topics that has become one of the favorites of the people that we've been serving and training in our workshops recently. And so we're really, really excited to share that with you next week. So be sure that you tune in and join us next week.